This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome to the party, pal!
Hi, everybody. Carl Dukes and Mike Bell. The names that mean goodness.
Say my name, you know who I am.
Carl Dukes.
I drink, and I know things.
Oh, don't question my authority, thanks.
King Kong ain't got on me.
Sometimes you just gotta call somebody, and I'm not ashamed to say it. You know,
And Mike Bell.
I'm funny how? I mean, funny like I'm a clown, I amuse you.
Hope you guess my name.
Bring a pitcher of beer every 7 minutes till somebody passes out, and then bring one every 10 minutes, right?
Get ready for the best 5 hours of your life.
Fat, drunk, and stupid is no way to go through life, sir.
Don't believe me, just watch.
This is Dukes and Bell.
You know what? Why don't we start doing the stuff that other guys have done on other radio shows around the country?
No.
On Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Atlanta, what is going on? It is Dukes and Bell on Sports Radio 92.9, The Game. We start off every day and every hour by saying, hey, man. Mike, we got to address the elephant in the room. And it has nothing, absolutely nothing to do with sports. Mike and I come in here every day. We get a chance to visit with Andy and Randy, as Big Hugh Douglas would say, Andy, Randy!
Mm-hmm.
And we get a chance to witness the atmosphere as to how they deal with each other. And we got to let it be known to our listeners right now that this honeymoon is over,
yeah,
Mike.
Yeah, the honeymoon's over. The tension is palpable. You walk in the studio, you can feel it.
We were
wondering to see when the player advocate would swing back over to that side from the media member that he is.
Didn't that take long?
Wow, Jahi feels it. Jahi's in for it. You can feel the tension. I mean, it's good-natured ball busting, but under the surface, oh, there's an underlying current of despair.
Well, I felt at one moment at the end of their program there that Andy might swing on Randy. I honestly did.
But I mean, I can be honest. We all know Andy's from Pacific Northwest, but I mean, you won't eat a hot dog over kale? I mean, come on. Come on. I mean, I know a hot dog is filled with all sorts of stuff you don't want to know, but who cares, man? I'll take that over fish food any day.
Yeah, I mean, listen, we normally don't put people's business out there, normally. But I got to tell you, there was just a... I don't know, Mike. There was a tension in the air.
Anyway, so now we messed up their show. Let's get on to ours.
Hey, man, we got a lot to talk about today. Let's start, obviously, with what happened last night. I know all of you really enjoyed watching the game.
All right, let me just go through this. You know,
night.
I am the most untech-savvy person in the world. I spent 20 minutes trying to load Google Chrome so I could figure out how to get my YouTube TV for my trial 5-day free Fox Sports Soccer.
Yeah, until they charge you $85. Yeah.
Well, yesterday afternoon, we had a listener, and I don't believe he was trying to hustle us. I think he had good intentions, but he sent us a link to a free stream. You know, and our old former partner here at the station, John Michaels, was the king of the Fire Stick and all these sorts of ways you can get around paying for stuff. But last night, I did a free trial, and the moment I hit submit, boom, American Express lights me up. Did you try to send $49 to Belize?
Oh!
So I'm like, okay, let's just scratch that. So canceled that one. But this the problem, if we're not catching our drift, CONCACAF is supposed to be the North Central American version of the Champions League in Europe. And the Champions League in Europe is actually, in some people's minds, better than the World Cup because it's the best teams that are elite that play for, you know, they play together. The competition level's insane. The best of the best of the best.
Sir.
And obviously, you don't have the same traction with MLS only being 25 years old, but you shouldn't have to jump through hoops to find stuff when you've got a team from Atlanta who's like the number one team right now in the league as far as, you know, people following, people at buzz, people talking about it, flying to a Central American country. Somebody's got to have an easy way of watching this thing.
Yeah, and that's the frustrating part for Atlanta United fans is you wanted to listen to it. Obviously, we had it here for you, and we are your home for Atlanta United. As, you know, Mike Conte and Jason, they do a great job. But as most of us, when you get home, all right, what do? You try to find a game on the television, and it's just, that's what we do. So to not be able to do that last night, Mike, and I think I searched two places, and literally I have the remote where you can, you know, just speak into it. Atlanta United. Boop, boop. Can't find it. Soccer match. Boop, boop. Can't find it. So I was like, all right, I don't know where this is. I didn't go through the rigmarole. I found myself trying to tune in to Jason and Mike. I listened a little, but here's what we know, and this is the good news, guys. They're coming back to Fifth Third Bank Stadium on Tuesday. Mike and I will be doing the show up there at Twin Peaks in Kennesaw. And the good news is it's a 1-1 draw, which puts us, Mike, in great position.
Yeah, we have an away goal. And again, I know if you're not a big soccer fan, you're going, well, wait a minute, we tied, we didn't win. But you got an away goal. So basically, hypothetically, we could just go 0-0 tie next Tuesday, and we advance. And then there's a chance we could play Club America down in the big stadium in Mexico City, which would be unbelievable. But the good news is we went through this last year, and I said this to Carl yesterday. You know, we've probably learned our lesson about how this goes. You're going to get mugged. You're not going to get the calls, and you just got to fight through it and keep your poise. And they did. And the guy who lost his poise was the referee. He was a hot mess. He got the emotions were getting him the better of him. But the good news is you get a tie, and now you just come up, take care of your business like we did last year against the team from Costa Rica, Herediano. So, it was fun to watch. Once I found it, it was great to watch because, Carl, without a lot of guys, we were down a bunch of our big starters.
Yep.
A lot of cool stuff going on last night. A lot of guys that the fans are going, Adam John, who needs a guy from Phoenix from the minor leagues? This guy brings a new element. We'll talk more about it with Jason later in the week, but there was some cool stuff last night.
Well, I thought the coolest part was the combo work between Pitti and obviously Joseph, and Joseph with the equalizer in the 35th minute. This is what we've been waiting for. Now, you've got to be consistent. I always talk about this. Like, guys can show up for one game, and that's nice. I need Joseph and Pitti to be this combination throughout the course of the season because I do think it could be the most dangerous combination in MLS. But that was fun to watch. But the best thing last night with no Miles Robinson was that this guy named Brad Guzan had 5 saves in the second half. And when you talk about saving a game, a match, Brad did that last night because they had opportunity after opportunity, and he's making save after save, and you're going, can he make another one? And he does. So to me, that was kind of the moment last night where you go, how are we going to be without Miles Robinson? We know it's not long-term, knock on wood. But when he gets back, we've got one of the best defensive guys in the league, defenders. And then Brad's playing like he's 24 again. I'm going, this guy looked amazing.
Now, we've talked about it. Some of the best goalkeepers in the world played late in their 30s. You know, and Brad's in, you know, mid to late 30s now. You know, there's still guys out there. You know, and we talked about Peter Cech and, Buffon in Italy. These guys can go late in their career doing this. But, yeah, Brad was electric last night, and he had to be. So you got that going for you. And it's just kind of fun because last year we didn't know anything about Frank DeBoer and how this was going to play. And after that first game down in Costa Rica, everybody was freaking out.
Yep.
So this was a little bit more, okay, yeah, we're in a good spot. We got this. And again, it's good to see the young guys, the new faces on this team really doing some good work.
Can we hear a little of this action from last night? It's tied at 1 apiece here. And Joseph, it looked like it was going to be another goal for us, and it wasn't.
Goal comes on Matagua's first shot on target in this match. Off the kickoff, backheeled by Joseph Martinez to the front of center circle. Pitti Martinez, back to Joseph, ahead to Pitti. Ahead to Joseph in the box. Joseph with a shot! Score! Off the back, posted in. Atlanta United equalizes less than a minute after they give up the goal.
So that was the equalizer. This was Joseph Martinez taking a shot. It gets stopped, and you're thinking, okay, we're going to go up and win this thing.
Out of subs, Atlanta United intercepts the free kick, and Adam John puts it down now to Barco. Barco at the edge of the 18 to Joseph at the arc. Shot! A diving save! Out for a corner by Rougier. Diving to his left to stone Joseph Martinez.
If he scores that goal, we win this thing. We can mail it in next Tuesday. Easy pleasy. But like I said, Joseph looked good, midseason form. And you got to understand, our players were getting mugged. Mm. It wasn't until I can think of maybe 3 or 4 times we actually got fouls called on the other guys in the second half. But you know that going in. You're just the American teams are not going to get the love from Central American referees in a Central American country. But now we survived it, and now we can get on back home. Can't wait to see these guys. And I know it's a bummer we can't beat Mercedes-Benz. And for folks, again, we're guys hitting us up on the Salmon Brothers Diamond text line that are new to Atlanta United. The reason we're playing at KSU is you got monster trucks, you got the motorcycles, they got to move tons and tons of dirt. So there's just no way to make that work logistically with Mercedes-Benz. But as Carl and I have found, it's a really cool vibe up there at Fifth Third Bank to be right on top of the field, Carl, and see those guys up and close.
Yeah, I love the intimate atmosphere. And by the way, I think it was Darren Eales who said this. And again, I don't want to jinx anything. We've been pretty good up there. We've been pretty good. So let's hope that continues next Tuesday. It is Dukes and Bell talking about Atlanta United. CONCACAF action underway last night. They'll be back at it next week. And then obviously the NBA gets back at it as the Hawks will take on the Heat tomorrow. Now, as many of you know, or maybe you don't, maybe you're just getting back from President's Day weekend, Mike and I headed to Las Vegas for the big fight. It is a big fight, too. It's got the buzz already of one of these fights, Mike, that we're going to be talking about for a long time. We're talking about Deontay Wilder taking on Tyson Fury. It's 2. First time they locked up guys was 17 months ago or so, and Wilder knocked him down, and everybody thought he knocked him out. And if you've seen the highlights, you didn't watch it, big fella gets up like the Undertaker, and everybody's just in shock. It goes to a draw, but these are two of the most charismatic heavyweights we've had in a very long time, and we're going to be out there tomorrow and Friday bringing you the show from out there, and obviously we'll be talking about everything Atlanta as well. But Saturday night, Mike, it's going to have the feel of a fight we haven't had in a long time.
And that's the thing, man. We always joke around. For those that have been following boxing, or you might remember from back in the day, Bert Sugar, the famous boxing journalist, old school guy, wore the fedora, had the cigar burning all the time. Remember him, Carl? He'd say this line. Every week you'd be at a fight, we'd see him. Americans love big cars, big stakes, big women, you know, big boxers. And that's what you do. The heavyweight division is just another level. It's always cool to watch the middleweights, and we've talked about Canelo, and we've talked about, you know, seeing Floyd. But you don't really get the payoff of the Floyd fight. You know, he's dancing around. He's doing it.
He wants to see somebody get knocked out.
He's an escape artist. That's really, but he's a technical boxer, but it's not. You want to see somebody get knocked the boot out, and you might just see that on Saturday. One thing for sure, dudes throwing haymakers at each other because Tyson Fury's plan is to get this over by six.
Yeah, and, you know, there's all kind of elements to this fight we'll be talking about over the next couple of days. New trainers, you'll hear from Tyson Fury. We're hopefully to catch up with Wilder. Bomb Squad and all that out there in Las Vegas. All right, guys. Find us on social media, 929 The Game. That is our radio station. Follow us, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. He is Mike Bell, ATL, and I'm at Put 'Em Up. See, Dukes, the radio show is Dukes and Bell, 929. We're going to come back. We're going to talk about Freddie Freeman. As much as we've been talking about baseball and obviously the Astro scandal, this guy may be the biggest piece to the puzzle because he's healthy again. We'll talk about it next on Sports Radio, 929 The Game and at radio.com. Happy Wednesday, and thanks for being here and listening to Atlanta's number one sports station and number one sports show. It's Dukes and Bell. Here's the deal, guys. Braves at spring training, and we have a healthy Freddie Freeman. Yeah, knock on wood. We cannot discount what Josh Donaldson meant to this offense and what he did for this lineup, Mike, and that's why we wanted him back, right? We wanted Bring of Rain to come back. It didn't happen. Bring of Rain is now a Minnesota Twin. But we still have what I think, and Mike, you said this all season last year. We went around and around. Remember our conversation? Who's the best team, the team MVP? Is it Acuna? Is it Donaldson? And we kept getting back to one guy. It's Freddie. Even though these other guys are putting up great numbers. And Acuna was chasing 40 home runs, 40 stolen bases. And he may do that again this year. But this is the mainstay. And now Freddie, and I want you to hear him talk about this. Not having the elbow pain, Mike. He's had the surgery. He'll never admit it. Maybe privately, but this is why he was terrible in the playoffs. He didn't give us anything. And we said, we got to point the finger where it needs to be pointed. He knew it, and he apologized and said, I should have played better. But we think now, Mike, we know he was injured, right?
Yeah, there was that one game, I think it was either Philly or Washington during the September, where he had a grounder, and he kind of goes down on the wrist, and it just didn't look right, and he comes out of the game, and you kind of felt, oh, boy. So, yeah, he just wasn't the same dude. And unfortunately, it coincided with Bringer of Rain slowing down, say, for one homer. And Markakis, remember, he came back off the injured list and was really great. And then everyone in 3-4-5 just was not good. So now you got a guy that's healthy. We're hoping that Ozuna picks up some of that slack. And, the big if, of course, is Austin Riley. But it is great to see that Freddie is good to go.
Let's hear from Freddie talking about the elbow pain.
It feels great. I had some pain. I did. It was a little worse than I thought it was going into the surgery, but it is completely cleaned out now. I feel good. No pain hit in the offseason for the first time in about 7-8 years. So that was a relief. I hit. I played golf. I did a lot of things and woke up with no pain. I'm ready to go.
597 at-bats last year. 113 runs. 121 RBI. That led the team, obviously. And when we talk about Freddie, here's the thing that I think people miss, Mike. When we say, he's still the best guy on this team as far as best hitters, you hear that and you go, well, what about Acuna? Acuna has more upside. There's no doubt. That we're not saying he's not talented. Mm-hmm. But I think when you talk about the best hitter on this team still right now is Freddie Freeman. He hit .389. His on base, should I say, last year was .389. But for the season, his average ended up being at the end of the year, we're talking about regular season, he was hitting .300, .295, .297 right there. So Acuna ended up hitting .280, and then obviously Acuna had a great postseason and nobody else did, which is part of the problem. But I just think it's important to talk about the fact that this guy is the mainstay in this lineup. And if the other guys now, if Ozuna and Acuna does what he does, and Ozzie and everybody around him, then the offense is going to be okay. I don't know if it'll be as good as it was last year, though.
I mean, as we said, you know, the 3-4-5 kind of just went haywire, as it were. And, you know, this is why I was fine with Snicker just getting a one-year extension on what he's got right now, because at some point Acuna is going to be back in cleanup, right?
Yes.
I mean, when does that start? I mean, I know that we love the guy as the setup guy, and as long as Freddie is raking and everybody else and Azuna is raking, then yeah, then it's unique to have a guy with that much power leading off. But at some point, though, again, maybe that becomes the thing when Freddie, you know, kind of tails off in the sunset, right? Are you cool with that kind of timeline?
So you're talking about a couple of years? Because I think Freddie's got one more contract in it.
Yes, but that's, you know, and again, we presume, knock wood, that Freddie keeps on raking. But I still feel in my heart of hearts Acuna is the cleanup hitter.
Okay.
You know, I know that, you know, you can't argue with whether you feel that, as long as the guys are knocking him in. But, I mean, the problem was in the postseason, he was the only guy that was doing his job.
Yeah. So if this is your lineup, Mike, and let's just assume Riley's at third. We're just going to play with this right now. Ozzie's leading off for you? Who's leading off?
Ooh, that's a great question. You know, it'd be really good if Dansby batted like 285, that Dansby could be my leadoff guy.
Okay.
But that's not really the case. So I'd have to go with
250 last year.
Right. I mean, we're talking semantics, although I know that some of the baseball nerds feel that there's other ways this lineup could work, and I have to admit, I could kind of agree with some of them.
Yeah. Dansby had 121 hits. I didn't realize that many hits last year. I mean, Freddie had 176, so put it in perspective, that's what we're talking about. We're talking about a guy that's consistently either on base or making things happen as your best pure hitter, and I think it's Freddie Freeman. Now, throw Markakis in there, Mike. Again, how much does he help you? Because Markakis missed all that time, and he still had over 100 hits last year. You know, the home run numbers are not there, only 9, but I don't know. I agree with you.
We missed a big chunk. Markakis missed a big chunk of the season.
He did.
But yeah. Now, the other aspect of this, too, guys, and just giving you some flexibility with that lineup, is if Pache and Waters really get on track this year to come up to the big club and can contribute. That's also a part of it, because we're a little nervous about Duvall and Markakis just because of how things kind of tailed off last year. But, hey, you still got enough pieces. I'm not sweating it as much about Azuna. I think Azuna's going to be really good in this lineup.
Yeah.
But I do just wonder about Austin Riley. That's the one I always come back to. It. Will Austin Riley be able to handle the things that, you know, just really struggle with, you know, lack of plate discipline, low outside the curveball, basically everything, you know, in the second half of the season.
Dudes that can hit normally hit. That's Azuna. That like they go different places. And I remember when Albert Pujols left to, you know, the St. Louis Cardinals, and he ends up with the Angels, and they're like, oh, he's not going to be the same. He was. Now he got old.
Right.
But if you can hit more times than not, that's what you're going to do no matter where you ultimately are. And I think, Mike, he brings a little swag, too. Maybe not the swag that you liked with Donaldson, but right. He does bring that. That's the whole thing with Folty, you know, with the shoes and all that stuff at spring training with him, welcoming him to the team.
There's some pictures that our buddy Dave O'Brien from The Athletic put up from down in Northport. Nick Markakis going up against Soroka in some live batting practice. Also, Charlie Culberson, he's got the helmet protection on both sides of his noggin after obviously getting hit in the face last year. So he's on that minor league contract, still a chance. I know Charlie's a fan favorite, so there's a chance he can still make the lineup. Got a picture of him going up against Folty. So, yeah, man, it's cool to see these guys in action. Next week, they'll finally start playing the other teams, and we'll see what this is all about, and then who's going to step up to the plate, and who's going to, more importantly, step up to the mound and be that 4-5 starter as a way for Cole Hamels to figure out when he's going to be able to go.
Let's hear Freddie talk about the offense one more time here, because he says he's expecting a lot, Mike, from this offense, even though some people think it's going to fall off a little bit.
Everyone kind of knows where they're going to be already going into it. We got a great lineup, deep lineup. I think we're going to score a lot of runs again.
Boy, I hope so. I mean, honestly. And then how much pressure does that take off the bullpen and all of that stuff that we're worried about?
Right.
You know, and I say worried because I think every team is worried about the bullpen. I think our bullpen is going to be really good. I hope I'm right about this. I could be completely wrong, but I actually think the investment in the bullpen was a smart play because, as I said, now we've got a plan from 6th to the 9th inning. At least you've got some options to go. 404-741-0929. Your thoughts are always welcome here on the program as we talk about the Braves' spring training. But we really didn't get into the Freddie stuff yesterday as he spoke to the media because of all the Nick Markakis stuff, Mike, and then obviously Rob Manfred and the reaction.
And Rob Manfred walking it back. Yeah, talking about discipline and realizing that he basically insulted everybody who loves baseball when he called the trophy they play for just a piece of metal. I had a long day on Sunday. Oh, okay. I think I did 45 minutes on camera. He did in the ESPN interview. And then I did the press conference. I have to say, the commish says, I made one mistake at least. Oh, look at you. During that long day. That was in an effort to make a rhetorical point. I referred to the World Series trophy in a disrespectful way. And I want to apologize for that. No excuse for it. I made a mistake. I was trying to make a point, but I should have made it in a more effective way. He was fatigued, Carl.
Yeah,
mental fatigue.
Is that what it was? Well, hush. You won't be tired. I mean, all that talking, there was a lot of hot air coming out.
Get some B12 and some ginkgo biloba, Holmes.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I think he has already scarred a lot of guys with these comments. And as much as you want to back it up a little bit, it's hard now, Mike. It's going to be very difficult. You know what he has to do, and I don't think it happens. So he's got to suspend these guys.
That's just it. And you talked about it yesterday. Now you're going to have this whole goal. You know, you're going to go round and round with the Players Association. He did explain, and you explained this yesterday when Mike Fiers came up with the initial charges. They launched an investigation. Their efforts were not particularly successful in terms of making progress. In other words, nobody was talking. Was that what you read from that?
I do.
So my office then contacted the Players Association to request player cooperation. We wanted players to submit to interviews. In case you're wondering why this is going the way it is, the association asked if we have disciplinary intention. Our response was that we could not rule that out. The union said that would be a problem. So the union, if you're wondering why this is the way it is, baseball, for people who don't know, baseball's union is the strongest union of all the professional sports. They've always had it. They've generally had uniformity across the board because they've got guaranteed contracts. So when they do have a strike or something, nobody has to sit there and tell you about, you don't know how hard it is paying car payments on 5 cars, as Kenny Anderson did one year. Remember the NBA?
Sure.
That whole lot of nothing, 99, 2000 nonsense.
Lockout.
Yeah, in this case, these guys walk it, and they talk it, and they back it up. So we'll see. It just seems to me, Carl, you're right. You've already made this deal. The toothpaste is out of the tube. You can't go back and start fining. They're suspending these guys that were in the Astros uniform.
Here's what you're having, though, now for the first time in a long time. You've got some division within the union. Because there are players like Aaron Judge and others around the league.
Oh, yeah, outside the Astros clubhouse for sure.
Who are saying, okay, so you're telling me you couldn't have done this because of what we've got in the union in our CBA? Well, that needs to be changed. Because now you're allowing cheating to take place. We can't have that as players. We can't allow that. We didn't know this was even possible. And that's how things work sometimes. Sometimes stuff comes up and you go, that happened? I didn't even know we could do that. So Right. Now you've got players in a union who is tight, who normally are uniformly together, who are now saying, wait a minute, bro, we can't have these guys getting away with this. And so now they're willing to go, next time we talk about this, this is something that's got to be addressed.
And so just as Carl broke it down for you, so just to back it up, union came back, players would cooperate only if there was blanket immunity. So that's why now, as everybody wants to see a pound of flesh, they can't do it. It's not an option, you know, unless, as you said, you're going to see players approach the leadership of the players union and say, you know, well, let's walk this back and get after these guys. And then what do you think that would be, 25 games?
At least.
You know, 50 games, and then you stagger it, as we said yesterday, and then the Astros season goes kaput, as well it should.
25, so that's not even a third of the season, though, is it?
Yeah, I just use that as a starting point.
I do, too. No, listen, if you told me a guy was not getting paid and missing 25, take Altuve, whoop, out of the lineup, 25 games, that hurts the Astros. Carrera, out of the lineup, whoop, 25, that hurts them. So I'm with you. I mean, that in essence, wrecks their season
right. Because
they never have the lineup that they thought they would have. And you know, you're not replacing those bats and those numbers. I'll see. I'm going to wait to see. I'm like LeBron right now. Ball's in your court, yeah. Commish.
And the commish also said the garbage can signaling did go on into the postseason. There was conflicting evidence at that point. Yes, well, you give yourself a little bit of an wiggle room on that one. But everyone knows they were doing it.
Hey, coming up, UGA is going to open up in 2020. Against whom and where? Find out next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
I referred to the World Series trophy in a disrespectful way. And I want to apologize for that. There's no excuse for it. I made a mistake. I was trying to make a point, but I should have made it in a more effective way. And again, I want to apologize for it. I will say this. You know, I've awarded 5 World Series trophies. There is no greater pleasure in this job than awarding that trophy. I understand what it means. And again, it was a mistake to say what I said.
Strap in, youngins.
Hitting the headlines with Dukes and Bell.
While we're talking about spring training, a guy we haven't talked a whole lot about, Mike, and I'm curious to see how his spring training goes. Now, listen, he get it 450 in spring training. We'll all be excited, but it won't matter if Austin Riley gets into the first month of the season and he's struggling. So, Austin Riley was asked this question about what has he learned from last season.
I think it's just more of, you know, learning how, you know, pitchers are going to make adjustments and I got to make adjustments to the pitchers. That's the biggest thing, is just being consistent, you know, working on my swing this offseason. It's going to be more consistent.
Well, let's hope so, because honestly, that's one of the things we're watching, right? I mean, Mike said it. I'm not as concerned as some of you about the lineup because of Ozuna and the way things are shaping out. But this is the one thing I am concerned about, because, again, if this, for some reason, doesn't work, I don't like platooning, Mike. And then are you going to say, all right, Camargo, it's your job? Regardless, is that what you're going to do?
I mean, if you know, again, if he's batting 250, I mean, and hitting more consistently, because that's the thing, the knock on Camargo, he's kind of like me in high school, all glove, no stick. But as far as a slick fielding shortstop with warning track power, but as far as Riley, the strikeouts, too many strikeouts. And he did, you know, in his ascent from the minors to the majors, Carl, he's had years with a lot of strikeouts. So that is, you know, that was the knock. And again, the injury in Gwinnett, and you said, well, he's always better once he makes the adjustment, so this is going to be the always better part. If you look at his trajectory, how he kind of takes an, okay, getting used to getting to know you period, then he comes out and he balls out. That's how he's gotten to the show. So that's what you're hoping is going to happen.
We've got our eyes open about that, but more with Austin Riley coming up. Meanwhile, while we're talking baseball, here's Rob Manfred, the commissioner of baseball.
Boo! Mike.
Yeah, talking about immunity, because this is the part that everybody right now is going, wait a minute. So you couldn't have threatened to shut this organization down without getting immunity and then saying we're not going to punish these guys?
Unions had them over a barrel.
Here's Manfred.
We wanted players to submit to interviews. The MLBPA asked if we had a disciplinary intention. I think the response was that we could not rule that out. The union indicated to us that that would be a problem. We went back and suggested to them we would give them an initial list of people, players, that we would grant immunity to, preserving our ability to discipline other players. And the union came back and said that players would cooperate only if there was blanket immunity. And because we were at a bit of a stalemate, we knew we needed player witnesses, we agreed to that immunity agreement.
This is so, like a mob story.
Well, I mean, here's the thing. You got to go back to like 1920, Kennesaw Mountain Landis. That's not how they handled the Black Sox scandal.
No.
It was a different time because there was no players' union. Players' union didn't exist, okay? So if you want to go back and start, you know, with Miller, then you had Donald Fear and all these guys that built up this power base and, you know, a point where you've sandbagged it where it's impenetrable. You know, you cannot break. You guys, you heard it. The commissioner is at the. You can't really go after these guys. They could literally have had no shot at this. Now, the managers, the coaches, they don't have a union, so it's a different kettle of fish.
Which is why they paid the price. This is like a mob movie, though.
Yeah, I mean, but you and I said this yesterday. What you should have done, and how would a district attorney handle this? Well, we're going to put some heat on you. All right, boys, we know that 20 of you guys were screwing around with the signals, or 15, you know, because you're taking away the pitchers.
We've got the evidence.
And so whoever wants to cut a deal, first guy to the office gets the deal. The rest of you are going to jail. That's how it works in the real world. But in baseball, when you got a strong union and a collectively bargained agreement that you explained yesterday, that's it.
All right, man. More on that as well coming up.
But you
up.
Said it, though, real quick. Just a caveat. I mean, a backup to that. You said it. The players, though, around the league are losing their minds.
No. This is the first time you've had a fractured union from the standpoint of this one stance. We're not talking about pay and benefits. They are standing together with that.
And they signed off on the steroid policy. When
That's
Major
right.
League Baseball came up with this really intense, I mean, let's be honest, pretty heavy, not like NFL where you lose three or four games, you lose half a season in baseball with steroids.
But on this one stance, Mike, this is the first time you've had a fractured union. And what I mean by that is there are enough guys who are standing up and standing out saying this cannot no longer be the policy because it doesn't deter other teams from doing this down the road. It's not enough. You need to punish the guys. And that's why everybody's upset at Rob, but Rob's like, my hands are tied.
And they really are. So, again, it's just a giant mess. Today, down at Legends Field, Giancarlo Stanton tells the media, if I knew what was coming, I'd hit 80 home runs.
He's right.
Yeah, see, you could actually extrapolate
that. Hold on.
Yeah.
Change up.
Imagine, at Yankee Stadium, down the line? Forget
Curve.
About
it.
Right?
Yeah, man.
So that's what's got people hot.
All right. Let's talk about the dogs real quick. We're going to do more dog conversation coming up at 4 o'clock here on the program, as we do each and every day, guys. The dogs are going to play Clemson 2021, Mike, but they've announced that this is going to be at Bank of America Stadium in Charlotte.
Ooh.
It'll be the first meeting between the two schools since 2014. So this coming out a little bit late last night, actually, late yesterday. But to open the 2021 season, but basically a neutral site game in Charlotte to open the 2021 season.
Yeah, I mean, that's going to now. Here's a question. Will David Tepper have a roof on that place by then?
Well, that's a good question. Is it still going to be Bank of America? Maybe it will be, but a new Bank of America.
It would take a while, but they are looking for some, if not a new stadium, certainly an upgrade the way they did it at the Hard Rock. But, yeah, I mean, you've had Mercedes-Benz has kind of been the, you know, the go-to, and it's like it's a state-of-the-art facility. There's nothing in Carolina right now that compares to that. But I guess they felt, you know, Clemson, they keep playing in these preseason games in Atlanta. They want to be, I guess, technically a little bit closer to home. Kind of splitting the baby, if you will, for Tiger fans, right?
Yeah, I like this. The Tigers have a kid coming in from California, and some people are saying he's as good as Trevor Lawrence, maybe better. DJ Ugalele, I think the kid's name is. He'll be here next season. Mike, we know the Dawgs continue to have these number one recruiting classes. This is still going to be a huge game to start the season. And don't forget, they open up the season against Clemson in the 2024 season. We knew about that. That's a home and actually a home and home away, a home and home series, should I say, scheduled between 2029 and 2030. So down the road, we always laugh about this because we're like, what are we be doing? We'll be like two old guys on the radio. Clemson playing Georgia. They made this matchup years ago.
And you're, so you're planning on becoming an old Jewish man later life. Is that what you're
saying? So good news, though, for Dawg fans. I think this is a good matchup, Mike. And again, more of these matchups, man.
Well, again, if you're the man, you know, and you're hopefully Kirby, whether this and you now, we're giving him no slack on this quote-unquote gap year with Jamie Newman coming in. You know, you got enough talent on both sides of the ball for this team to get right back into the SEC championship game. And that obviously is like a quarterfinal or semifinal, however you want to look at it, to get you into the big dance. So, yeah, I love it when a team goes and takes on anybody. When Alabama goes anywhere, you know, we've seen teams that do that. And I think that's when you really have you're the next level. And I got to be honest with you. You don't want to see him, you know, playing Jerkwater State. You want to see him playing the big boys and going toe-to-toe with them.
Although I did win some money on Jerkwater State last year.
Well, you got to cover that 64-point spread.
I'm just telling you. Hey, man, it is Dukes and Bell. Coming up, we're going to have our NFL Blitz segment on the way and more conversation about Joe Burrow. Hey, Mike, last night, Atlanta United, if you're just joining us, we started the show talking about this today. I'll take a tie in CONCACAF because it's almost like a win, isn't it?
We said this earlier because every year we get more and more people coming on board and they're trying to. I was blown away. I had hundreds of guys on Twitter, social media yesterday on the text line too. How do I watch this? Where do I find it? Well, they don't make that easy for CONCACAF. But yeah, it was always about getting out of there with a draw or only being down a goal. And the reason we say that, I know that's counterintuitive, Carl, for football fans who don't follow soccer. What do you mean I want to go in there and lose by a point? Mm. Because you're not going to get any calls. Your guys are going to get mugged. And once the other team see how it's going, it gets more and more violent. We had guys undercutting guys in the air. You were worried about any time somebody went up for a header, I was afraid somebody was going to get, you know, jammed up like Bello was in Birmingham. Good news is you answer their goal as soon as they score. And that crowd was silent. Because the crowd, hey, we're going to beat the Gringos. Whoop! And all of a sudden, we just shut them down. And then we actually had better athletes. We had better stamina, it looked like. And we were the team that hadn't played all season. They've got 6 or 7 games under their belt. They grow the grass on that stadium. That's not their home stadium down there. But it's almost like they're playing in a prairie. So the ball was rolling slow. It took us a while to adjust to some of that as well.
It was really cool. I tweeted at Brad today about the 5 saves. And he said, wait till we get back to the A. Wow. Okay.
Excellent.
It's going to be on next week, so make sure you get your tickets, man. That's going to be up there in Kennesaw. Join the Hawks during Peachtree Night as they take on the Miami Heat. That is Thursday, tomorrow, February 20th. Tickets on sale now. Get your tickets at hawks.com/tickets to go check out the Hawks as they come off the All-Star break. Hey, when we come back, what do you think about the leverage that Joe Burrow says he has? Does he really have leverage? Everybody says it's worked in the past, but will it work now? It's next on Dukes and Bell.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.